several times the last hour, hour and a half. Cindy and I was eating with four of the grandkids, two of them sick. Cindy said, well, we'll get down here, you just take me back home, you drop off, and you and Lim go on to church. Well, that was a mistake. Woo, I've been fighting him all the way over here and all the way over here. He didn't want to leave Grandma. But that's the decision that we made. I told Grant that I finished chapter 1 today, and Grant can start off Sunday with chapter 2. I shouldn't have done that. I should have told Grant I'd teach for the next two times after tonight, but I had already told him to prepare because I probably won't be able to be here. I'm going to have surgery as an outpatient, and 4 or 5 hours they told me to plan on, so that's next Tuesday night. So I probably won't be able to be here that following Wednesday, so I just told Grant that he'll probably have to teach four times in a row. I'll make it up when I get back. You cannot hear me, Ken?
I can.
You can?
I can.
Oh, you can't?
I may be getting on like you, but I can't hear you.
All right. You know, your dad's homesick, and you're going to be joining him pretty soon. I eliminate one slide because Larry said that there's no way I get through all that material, so we'll see. We was talking about Paul was all about the advancement of the gospel. That's a quality that he had, and that's a quality that we all got to have, and why I'm thinking of it. Sunday after the evening service, we did announce this. Everybody's invited over to my house for potluck, New Year's Eve. Gordon's going to come over Sunday afternoon at the morning service and deep fry some fish. Debbie, I need to talk to her in case I forgot it. See if Doug could bring his outfit. Gordon wanted me to do that. I don't know where he wants him to come over and help him or not, but he's asked me about three different times, did I talk to Doug yet? And I said, I'll see him tomorrow night. So I get those things off of my mind, too. I'm getting a little bit like Freddie. I forget things. But I guess when you get up OC, I think you can expect that. Paul was all about the advancement of the gospel. That's a good quality that we need to have. He mentions there in the verse 13, the result has been that my bonds have become plainly recognized as associated for him being in Christ. And that's the reason he swallowed that a little bit easier. This has become known throughout the guard and all the rest. All those who are around him recognize that Paul wasn't really guilty of anything. He's guilty because he was serving Christ. And so that's all the charge that somebody can lay against us. Christ and the bonds are the results of being in Christ, what Paul is saying. Paul's imprisonment became a matter of notoriety for his being in Christ. And that was Paul's life. Paul was in bond for being in Christ. And that's probably one reason he could live with it a little bit better. Still more good news because of Paul's example there in 14th verse. Many are now more confident and bold to speak up of Christ without fear than ever before. They see Paul taking the stand, and that produces some of the rest of them around him for taking the stand too. At least that's why I think he's talking about that. And so we all need to do that. So this shows the power of one willing person, how it can progress. They see one person doing it, then it's an ascendant for the rest of us to do it. Sometimes we are fearful and hesitant to speak of Christ in our daily conversation. That should never be, but it is true. Ask yourself, am I provide the bowl example or the Heston followers of Christ. And we all around, you're around people that I'm not around. And I'm around people that you're not around. And we always hear something that we need to stand up for the Lord and take a position. And I think Paul's trying to teach the Philippian brethren to do that right now. Verse 15 and 16, from motive of envy and strife to exalt themselves, some belittle Paul for personal reason. I don't know if you ever had this happen to you or not, but it can happen. It's happening to me. And Paul said, that's fine. That's fine. He says, some people has their own attitude. They want to produce a little clique themselves. They want to be the head honcho. They want to be the leader. And that's behind them attacking Paul some for personal reason. Well, Paul said, I didn't let that buy me. He said, Paul was set for the defense of the gospel under any circumstances. Where someone was using the occasion to, that sounds awful loud to me, Ken. But as long as Brother Vaughn can hear it, because he needs to hear it. He said he couldn't hear it a while ago. But that's fine. Paul, he is ready to defend the gospel anytime, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. And he was a bright and shiny light because of that. Preaching Christ of a faction, preaching Christ in such a way as to build up our own little clique, our own personal desire. I probably let that bother me, but Apostle Paul didn't. He was mainly interested, and he said that. He says, what's my reaction to this? Only this, that in every manner, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is being proclaimed. He said, this is first and foremost. The gospel is getting out there. We hope the ears that he falls upon will be in a manner that they'll listen to it and adopt it to their lives. And he said, I keep on rejoicing just because the gospel is being preached. I'm not worried about the motive behind it. I'm not worried about the heel. That individual has got the wrong motive behind it. God knows. And God will take care of it. God knows everything. And God will take care of it. So he goes on. He says, suppose this is so. Maybe some people is doing this. He says, so what? So what? It ain't going to bother me any. I'm just happy because the gospel is being preached. Christ is being preached, and in this he rejoiced and will continue to rejoice. It's hard to believe somebody had this type of positive attitude, but Apostle Paul did. Paul leaves this annoying side of the case to itself and passed on to encourage, to be an encouragement to others. And so he doesn't dwell upon this too long. And I'm not for sure that was the purpose behind everything or not, but there was a little bit of problem there. But Paul wasn't concerned about that. If that guy has a wrong attitude of preaching the gospel, I can't let interfere with me and for me to have their own attitude. You know? But it does happen. Have you ever been in a meeting and had your lunch eaten? It happens. For verse 19, for I know that this shall turn out to my salvation. That's the only way I can see that we can have Paul's positive attitude. That everything that happens to him is for his salvation. Through the supplication and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, well, It's just going to make me a better person. It's going to make me more sure of my salvation. And so he's worried about the brethren back there at the church at Philippi. And so he said, the main thing is for you, brethren, to progress. The prayers of his brethren, the Philippians in particular, prayer is powerful. You can see that in Paul's life. He believed in that. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this could mean either that the Holy Spirit itself is, and I'm not going to get on a lesson. I'm going to have a hard time just getting through chapter 1. I'm not going to get on a lesson about the Holy Spirit. But if you want a lesson on the Holy Spirit, we can do a lesson on the Holy Spirit. This can mean either that the Holy Spirit itself is supplied to strengthen us, which is true, or that the supply of strength and intensity of the faith is given to us by the Holy Spirit, and this is true too. This is two functions that the Holy Spirit does. It does most of it through the Word. He strengthens us. Of course, Paul was living in a time of miracles, so he was very active in Paul's life, laying on of hands and other miracles, and they didn't have the written word. And he, when he opened his mouth, he was inspired and spoke and so forth. Whether the supply refers to the Spirit himself, or the various form of assistance supplied by the Spirit, the net result is the same. Paul rejoiced that he had the Spirit leading him and telling him what to say and how to say it, how to act. The Spirit was working on that. The Spirit lived within him. God lived within Paul. Christ lived within him. So he draws strength from all three. We do too. Verse 20 and 21, so for me to live is Christ, is life in me, and to die is gain. That's a pretty good philosophy to have, isn't it? As long as I live, Christ is living in me. And he does that too if we allow him. Christ lives in us and works through us and for us. And to die is to gain. So if you die in the Lord, you got to gain. The way you're going to gain is because you're going to be with the Lord. So Paul says, I can't lose out. I remember you heard me talk about Dwayne Law so many times. I never met a man in my life that talked about dying and going to be with the Lord. Every day that you're with him, you heard that from him. And sometimes I look at him and I say, man, it seems like you just want to die. I remember the last time I seen him was in a nursing home. He was all curled up, weighed about 70 pounds. And I thought, man, that's a shame. You know, he kind of reminds me of this Apostle Paul. He wanted to live here, take care of Christ. If he couldn't do that, he just wanted to die and go be with Christ. That's a good philosophy to have. I got to serve with him for 4 years, I think, there at 12th Street. And he really, really helped me. One of the best and smartest men I've ever been around in my life. And it was a precious 4 years that I got to be with him. I wish I had 40. When we went in together, he'd been an elder all his life. So he was very experienced. I was very young, very green, and didn't know nothing. He really helped me. The true man of God is never discouraged and gloomy and inward defeated. We shouldn't be. I know we do. But we should never get defeated within. He knows that the Lord will win the victory. We know this. We know that God and the Lord knows about it. There's nothing any more powerful than them, and they're on our side. He knows that he is on the Lord's side, and if he's on the Lord's side, the Lord is on his side. I don't know what else to ask for than that. My God helps us to have such a confidence in his direction in our lives. And we should. This is another lesson that we should take from the Apostle Paul. That nothing else will look important to us than living for Christ. That was very obvious in Dwayne Law's life. It's one feature that you could not be around him very long that you did not understand that. And God will help us. He provides the confidence and he directs our lives for us. And we need to mature enough that nothing else looks important to us than God. First and foremost in our life. That was the way Paul. That's the reason Paul can talk this way. That's the reason Paul can operate this way. He didn't care about himself. What is it in Galatians? It says that when he obeyed the gospel, he crucified Paul, his wills, his desire for the Lord's will and desire. In nothing would he be silent by adversaries, nor be shown to be in error. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified in his life. Everything he does was about serving the Lord. That's the reason he said, if I die, it's to gain. He knew he was going to go to heaven. That's what 1 John, the 5th chapter, talks about. Down about verse 13, where John says, these things I write to you that you might know that you have eternal life. I quoted that verse at a funeral once and got in trouble over it. And that eternal life is in Christ Jesus. They didn't like it. But I was invited to get up and speak. They didn't like it because I said that. Because there was too many in the audience who did not believe in eternal life. But that's what the verse says. He said, I write these things to you that you might know that you have eternal life. And that life is in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, you know that you're going to live with him throughout eternity. That's what that verse is telling me. It might ruffle a few feathers, but too bad. If I said it in love, I meant it in love. Christ is the beginning, the continuing, the end, or the goal, and the reward of life. We need to just meditate upon this. Every day. You know, my phone, from direction of Doug, he asked me to put the Bible on my phone instead of trying to quote it when I talk to somebody and just pull out your phone. So it has a memory verse that comes up every day. So before I leave the house, I read that memory verse. And they're all very common. You can quote them all. And all of them's known. And I do that and make sure it's sitting right and everything. I have known to look at it again during the daytime too. But that was the Apostle Paul's goal. Christ is the beginning and continuing even to the end. You know, if it's not to the end, then we miss out on it, don't we? I've known a lot of people that have started out serving the Lord but quit along the way. Well, when I was quoting that 1 John, I said about this guy, I said he's in the hand of a merciful and just God, the God that I serve. That's these people here too. I'm not saying what's happened to them. They're in God's hand. God take care of that. He is a merciful and just God. But I don't think Paul would have to require too much of that. For the Christian, to die is gain. Have you ever been in the hospital and visit people and everything, and they told you that they're going to die? You know, Jackie, I knew Jackie Anderson as Jackie Mercer. I was told Wednesday, I think it was, might have been Tuesday, that she had a stroke and she was brain dead. She wasn't going to get no better. And she was going, they was moving her back here to hospice. Then the next time I heard, probably Thursday or Friday, that she died. But Jackie Mercer was a Christian. I went to school with her and church with her during grade school. Matter of fact, I don't know what the occasion was, but one time there at the 12th Street, I was teaching the auditorium class, and they came in. When I said they, Jackie and WD, and sat down. Of course, I picked on them. I said, there's Jackie Mercer. Oh, I said, no, her name's Anderson now. But I know her as Mercy. She used to chase me around school and around the church building and everything. And every time she'd see me, she'd just glassy eye. And she'd look at me and she'd say, I didn't do that. You done me that away. And it's true. I did do her that away. Until one day, we was about the fourth grade. We went to church up Parstry up on the hill. My dad helped build that building up there. And this is back in the 50s. And Jackie's about a month younger than I am. And I bought a present for him, and I left it laying in the seat. I was too embarrassed to give it to her. My mom, you know, you have no mom. And she got pulled right in front of the building. She looked and she said, you didn't give Jackie her present? I said, no. So she rolled down the window, and Jackie was there on the steps and said, come here, Jackie. Charlie got you a birthday present. Oh, I was so embarrassed. I never did talk to her again after that until we was gone and she's married and had a couple children. But she was a good lady. I can't say too much for her. But when they called, there, a lady there in the civilian called and told us about Jackie. And I remember I heard Cindy said, well, if anybody ever was prepared to go see the Maker, it was Jackie. And I thought, yeah, and the Apostle Paul, because I was sitting there at the computer studying my lesson. For Christ, for the Christian, to die is a gain because we shall depart and be with Christ. Philippians, the first chapter in verse 23. That's what it says. The Christian is only two or three heartbeats from being with Christ forever. Does that make you want to serve the Lord better? The sinner is only two or three heartbeats from being separated from the Savior forever in torment. I didn't say that. This Bible says that. I'm not going to do it tonight, but I can. that's what it teaches us. Philippians 1:21-23 is one of the numerous passages throughout the Bible that clearly teaches to me, I think, that the spirit of a man continues a conscious existence after death, even before the general resurrection of the body of all men. If there is no conscious existing after death, it was foolish for Paul to desire to depart and die and be with Christ. If he's not going to recognize Christ until the judgment day, but I think these verses shows that Paul believed that he would be with Christ and will recognize Christ. If we know nothing after death and will not see Jesus until the resurrection, Paul could not have hastened his being with the Lord by dying. Paul knew that he would recognize the Lord and be with him, and he would know that he's with the Lord. However long that would be before the Lord comes back or not I don't know, but that's what it's saying. The doctrine of the soul sleeps after death just does not fit in Paul's teaching. Now, there's a few places in the Bible I was looking at this week, kind of leans a little bit that way, but the Bible does not contradict itself. And Paul is very clear on this one, I think. I skipped a couple slides here. But if it happens to be my lot, this is Paul in verse 22, to continue living in the flesh will produce to me fruit of labor. In other words, Paul saying, no matter how long I'm here on this earth, no matter what situation I'm here on this earth, no matter what prison I'm in on this earth, he says, I'm going to be working for the Lord. I cannot make known that I would really choose as my lot since I really do not know myself. Paul said, I'm stuck between, I don't know. I know there's a work here. He said, I'm concerned about the brethren at Philippi here. And they're my people. I don't want to lose them. And I know there's a lot of other people out there that I need to, and we'd already talk about some that Paul converted. There's a lot of other people out there that I need to convert or take the gospel to. But in one way, if I could just go ahead and go now, I'll be with the Lord. Paul was in a position that he couldn't lose. Warning both to die and to live. Paul did, I think, from what I understand. What I should choose, I know not. Paul didn't know. Whatever the Lord provides for me, fine. If the Lord takes me right now and I go to heaven, that's fine. If the Lord leaves me here for another year or two, that's fine. I'll continue to operate no matter what God chooses to do. We need not ever to be in doubt that we shall bear fruit if we speak forth the gospel clearly and regularly. So Paul said, well, if I'm left here, I'll just produce fruit for God, for the church there at Philippi. I'll write letters to them. I'll convert people. I convert the guards here that I'm chained to and anybody that wants to listen to me. Very positive attitude. Every saint must come to the condition of mind, a willingness to die, and yet desire to stay on earth and work. Dwayne had that. He wanted to go be with the Lord, and he wanted to stay here and work. Even though the last several months he's lay there in bed and couldn't do either one, he eventually got to the point that he just, I went and see him two or three times. I thought, man, this is not for me. I don't remember him being like this. Didn't understand it all either. I am hard-pressed from the two sides, having the desire to depart, that is, to die, and be with Christ, for this is very much better. But to continue or remain in the flesh is more necessary for me. Paul said, whichever one you want me to do, God. Whichever one you want me to do, Lord. If you want me to stay here and work in the church or for the church or for your cause, I'll do it. If you want me, my time's up and I need to go on and I'll just live my life as an example, I'll look forward to being with Christ. But just at the time he was needed on earth and was emotionally and intellectually drawn towards living and helping the Philippian brother, he had a desire and a love for them. We'd already looked at that. And since that was more needful for them than his death, that's fine with him. That's fine with him. The church, the brethren there needs me to stay and help them. That's fine. When I was doing this, I didn't put in a lesson because Cindy's not here. I really would prefer Cindy go before I would. I prefer to take care of her. I prefer to take care of my kids. I prefer to take care of my business. My kids and Cindy and everybody rely on me. But I raised them that way. That's fine. That's fine. Cindy would have her hands full. And I'd already got Dale on my list to be, whatever you call him, of my will. And gave him instruction on what I want done. But verse 25 and 26, progress and joy are necessary things in the lives of Christians. We have to be maturing. Without them, our motivation and energy lags and soon will be lagging too. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to work with it. Takes a lot of energy. I wish Larry was here. I'm going to make it through chapter 1. I got 5 minutes and I think I got 2 slides left. I'm going to make it. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state that you stand fast in the one spirit and one soul striving for the faith of the gospel. How would you walk worthy of the gospel of Christ? I have it right at the end of this passage, but not right here. While the Philippians were to glory in the progress and joy of their faith, they needed to take care that their lives was worthy of the gospel, the good news of Christ. Worthy means equal weight or value, if you look it up, the definition of it. So what he's saying is, Paul was saying, behave as citizen in a manner worthy of the gospel. This is part of God's grace. Live lives worthy of the gospel, whether I am present or not. You brother and sister, don't make no difference where I'm in prison, where I'm there with you, where I'm not there. You live worthy of the gospel, of the calling that you accept. I think it's Ephesians says, walk worthy of the vocation. Vocation is a work. Walk worthy of it. Live it. And Paul was concerned about the brethren there that they would live it and walk worthy of it. To stand fast, we are striving together and being frightened and nothing from our adversary. Paul wasn't scared of nothing. Christ will help us to be bold. We need it. We need to just understand that. persecuting or not at such a time as we are in need. Christ is with us. Do not think, this is very important, because I talk to a lot of people. Do not think that your suffering indicates that you are not saved. That has nothing to do with it. If you suffer because of Christ, because of God, it's not because you're not saved. We suffer on behalf of Christ. The privilege of suffering for Christ is a gift from Him to us. Just the same way as grace and salvation is a gift to us. It's a privilege and a pleasure to suffer for Christ. It's a privilege and a pleasure to enjoy His salvation. That's what Christ does for us. He's always there with us. And it's a privilege to suffer Christ. It's not because I'm not in that sense. The word conflict is where we get our word agony. It refers to a painful type of struggle and extreme mental anguish. That can happen to us. I didn't fall, Jonathan. You're looking at me like you thought the old man fell. But I didn't. But don't be surprised if we have hard times coming. Paul was in hard times, and we live for the Lord, even if we are. Thank you very much. Grant will be with us.